welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. Today we're joined by Veit and Till from our friends and expert partners, Berner and Becker. Welcome, guys.
Hello there.
Very welcome, everyone.
Good to have you join us, Till. We've heard a lot from Veit in the past. Don't take that as an insult, Veit. It's always good.
Oh, I won't.
But Till, you're new to the podcast, so maybe you could just give us a little bit of an introduction.
Sure. It's an honor for me to be part of this podcast. I'm with Berner and Becker since December 2017, so that's almost more than 2 years now. I worked at a Spanish hotel company before in revenue management after graduating from my bachelor degree in international hospitality management. I studied in Germany and the United States. And I was asked to join this podcast as in our team. I function a bit like the distribution expert, trying to collect all the different ideas about distribution and how to basically set it up and optimize it. So I want to share some of the ideas today.
So that's why you're here. And as every good radio show or podcast works, you've just beautifully segued us into what this topic is all about. So we're going to be talking about distribution. Now, we see it in blogs, articles, week in, week out, month in, month out. So starting us off, and the concept of this is, if we have been gifted a hotel and I have nothing to help me on my distribution, where should I start? What's the first thing I should be doing?
I think that would be quite an impressive thought, actually, to being gifted a hotel. But if it would come to that point and we're talking distribution, I think, just to kick that off on the technology side, I think we would first and foremost look into, you know, deploying a proper good channel manager in the very beginning. There's something interesting I read a couple of weeks ago. It was saying that only 41% of hotels worldwide are actually utilizing a channel manager for their properties to handle distribution online.
41% are using it. 41%,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, in my opinion, quite a low number if you think about the complexity of today's distribution landscape and how to handle this. Because effectively what it means, like, people are still doing so much manual work on, you know, entering reservations, accepting reservations, doing quotes, even to, you know, only having, let's say, a request form on their website where the hotel is then basically forced to provide manpower in order to answer those requests, informal requests coming in. So it's something I for myself could not imagine to work any longer. So certainly the first thing to look into in terms of technology is to have a proper channel manager in place. And I think there's a couple of things people should be looking into when deciding for a proper solution for their hotel, because it's down to the individuality again, as it is with many things, also when it comes to that part.
Yeah, and I mean we're talking channel managers generically here. We're obviously not here to promote or push a particular channel manager. As you rightly said, you know, not all channel managers are made equal. So I guess your each individual requirement will determine who you actually partner with as a provider. But as a first starting point, we need to have a channel manager in place. And the obvious question, okay, why? What would the channel manager do for me that's going to help me?
Especially now in 2020, there's a lot of talks about shortage of available staff, and staff costs on the rise. So there's, as Veit already pointed out, a lot of manual work included. So you need to load allotments and prices across all your distribution channels. That might be somebody sitting in your back office just putting in reservations that are delivered via email. So the question that needs to be raised is, can you really afford your work hours to be spent on such repetitive and manual tasks, or can you automize it? And in addition, of course, the channel manager can help you to reduce the risk of overbooking. Or even in low season, you might be sold out on a certain channel because you only put a couple of rooms online, but you never basically went back to the channel to check if you still have inventory online.
That makes sense. Yep.
So it helps you to stay up to date with your distribution, have your inventory distributed well across all connected channels. And on the other side, you enable your reservation staff or reception staff to really focus on the main benefit they're providing, which is to use them as kind of also a sales department, because they are your sales towards the transient guests. They are there to sell your better room types to people calling in or sending emails or even answering guest questions and maybe selling an upgrade.
Exactly. I think it's that flexibility part also that comes in, right? You want to be flexible with your channel manager in order to provide guidance on, you know, which kind of rate products am I distributing onto certain channels. For some parts, also content can be distributed via that. And then obviously also the usability of that channel manager, because it's something that reservation teams will be working with very regularly on a daily basis. I think that usability part also plays a very large role in selecting the perfect solution for you.
That makes sense. And I guess depending on the size of the property, whether you're an independent property or part of a group, will depend on who is responsible for, I guess, setting up the rules that you put into the channel manager and then working with it on a day-to-day basis. And that could fall under many different guises, I would assume.
True. It's really coming down to that point of how easy to use is that solution. And do you have an expert, maybe in your small hotel chain or even global chain, who can spend most of the working time on developing that expert knowledge on how to connect new channels, how to solve challenges that come up on the way? Or are you a small independent hotel where you're looking more for an easy to use, reliable solution that your regular frontline employees can use in order to implement new channels or to make changes to your rate product?
Yeah, and I think that was where I was looking at. Yeah, we've got a very mixed audience, from those that are in large groups, which obviously have a strong infrastructure and will have specialist distribution teams. And then you have the smaller groups where maybe you don't have that level of support at a group head office and it falls to the hotel. And then independent properties where you may have someone whose title could be front office or reservations or revenue manager, but they're probably doing all those three elements in one role. Is there any other piece of tech or anything else I should be considering?
I think in my opinion, there's one more key element in terms of technology that should be in place or should be used next to a channel manager when it comes to the distribution part, because effectively, whatever you're doing with your channel manager, you want to be able to monitor whatever gets distributed out into the world, basically.
Yep, makes sense.
And for that, as the main thing that a channel manager does is distributing rates and inventory, you also want to make sure you have a view on what's actually getting out there. And this is best done by having a rate shopper solution in place.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think with those two parts, basically channel manager and the rate shopper solution at the end of the day, you're already making a pretty good start into that world.
Yeah, the rate shopper is especially important if you want to check for the rates. Do they really arrive in the different channels, and are all my channels in parity? Mm. So many of the rate shopping solutions nowadays also offer a parity screen. So you can shop for channels that are out of parity, maybe due to technical reasons or some other geo-based promotions, et cetera, that are run.
Makes sense.
Or merchant rates that are displayed online through some channels, so that you get your distribution under control. And on the other side, you can, of course, use the rate shopper to monitor what your comp set is doing, what the market is doing. So you can start focusing on building up a coherent distribution strategy that fits your market and is competitive compared to your comp set.
No, that makes a good point. And I think whilst it doesn't, probably wrong in how I will phrase this, but while we're talking about distribution and we're obviously getting our inventory out there. I guess there is also a point, and we won't labor this, but when someone comes back to us or researches us, our, as a piece of technology, my hotel website and the effectiveness of my website to take bookings, provide the information that's necessary. As I say, I know it's not part of the going out piece, it's more the coming back in, but that's a critical experience that ties in as well. So if you have the channel manager, the rate shopper, so you can see externally what you're doing, what you're pushing out and what's going on, but then coming back in that your hotel needs to have a pretty solid interface as well, then you've probably got both ends of the equation tied up quite nicely. Would that be fair?
Absolutely fair to say. I mean, you know, in the best case, obviously hotels would be deploying a two-way interface, so a direct connection between your channel manager and your PMS, obviously. So whenever you get reservations, which come into the channel manager and from there on get pushed through or pulled in into the PMS. So this is what you want to be looking for basically in your technology setup there at, let's say, the current stage of where technology is at this moment, in order to obviously reduce and free up time that your employees might be spending on, you know, creating and entering reservations.
One of the things that I often see from, you know, looking outside in is if you are a small hotel or in a small hotel group and you don't have someone dedicated to this whole distribution strategy, you know, is there a tendency to set it up and then just let it run and kind of, okay, I've got so many other things I've got to focus on. I don't have time to keep changing. So what are the things that you see people are maybe missing or best practices? Let's spend a little bit of time talking about those areas if we can now.
Yeah, I think this is a very important area, as human beings tend to be lazy. Not all of us, but in general, we just like to keep the status quo in a way that, as you pointed out, you have a lot of other things going on and on your plate, especially if you have a brand new hotel that you're taking over, lots of other parts that you need to fix or improve. So as soon as you're normally signed contracts to the main OTAs, many hoteliers just stop with their distribution strategy in a way that they think, I'm now connected to the largest distribution channels and now I can focus on something else and reservations will just come in. But overall, it's not that easy. On the one hand side, you need to constantly monitor your strategy that basically is then loaded and distributed, which means you constantly need to monitor your bar pricing, but also you need to think about other rate products that might be implemented. Mm-hmm. For some markets, of course, it might be just sufficient to have a flexible rate online. But what we've seen so far, there is definitely a high impact from other rate products as well, such as advanced purchase rates, or you are rewarding a longer length of stay, all kinds of products that can be uploaded in your PMS or CRS system and then distributed through the channel manager into the different channels. Of course, you need to make sure that the channels can display these products. So for example, you can create very nice packages on your website, but you cannot load these packages with all the inclusions, for example, into Booking or Expedia. It's just very difficult to do that. Nonetheless, this is just one part of the distribution mix then, that you're setting up one strategy, but just setting up the strategy is also not sufficient. You need to constantly reassess, is your strategy successful, not just in terms of pricing, but also in terms of rate products as well. Could be that you have the idea of setting up two different advanced purchase rates and a rate that rewards length of stays like 3 nights or 4 or 5 nights with a higher discount, but you need to then go back after a while and check, is this really what the clients are looking for? Do I need to play around with my discounts? Do I maybe need to take one rate product offline but maybe add another one? And as we talked about before, if you implement a rate shopper, it makes it easy to first of all get a glimpse on what is my competition doing in terms of bar pricing, but also in terms of discounting. Many hotels, for example, don't do any length of stay discounting. So maybe you get a competitive edge on providing that.
And that makes sense.
So it makes sense to look at the competition and then check whatever you have set up in terms of distribution for how successful is it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two elements, and Till just mentioned kind of one element, which is, you know, the harder facts in terms of, you know, which kind of rate products am I selling on which kind of distribution channels? How is that set up? Do they make sense? Are they relevant for my hotel? Are they relevant for my market? But then the other part is also on the more softer side of things, you know, in terms of content. Whenever I decide to, you know, present myself or present my product on a third-party website, whatever it may be, then I also want to make sure, obviously, that they get the best content that I can possibly deliver in terms of, you know, making that channel work for me at the end of the day.
Yeah, good point.
So there's, I think, those hard facts in terms of, you know, the product that I'm actually selling, and then that softer side in terms of content, pictures, stuff like this. And maybe just to touch back on a couple of podcasts we had before. I mean, we've been talking about market segmentation for once. And I think when it comes to, you know, building up your distribution strategy, you also want to make sure that this basically reflects on where you want to go with your hotel in terms of the ideal segmentation that you have been thinking about for your hotel.
Yeah, right? Good point.
You know which kind of feeder markets are relevant for you. So also try and figure out which kind of distribution channels would cater those different feeder markets that flow into your hotel business in the best way, right?
So that would seem logical.
That would seem logical, but I think usually it's, I don't know if hoteliers might miss that, but it's just a hint from our side, right? To critically reflect basically on, you know, which kind of guests do you actually want to cater to?
And I guess that comes back to the being lazy bit again, doesn't it? I mean, we're not saying people are lazy, but once you set it up, you let it run. And then if you're not analyzing to see if it's being effective, and then if you're not aligning it, then these all kind of feed into each other, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. The benefit, of course, of just connecting yourself to the big OTAs is that they are so interwoven into all different markets. For example, if you hook yourself up to booking.com, your rates are basically going all around the globe. So there is just limited need to contract other OTAs and other markets around the globe. Nonetheless, there are lots of other OTAs who are not connected directly, let's say to Booking and Expedia, to name just the two big ones, that could still bring you a lot of business. But of course, they are just smaller and they, of course, don't have the same volume potential.
Yeah.
But still, you could gain a competitive edge over your competition because they are not present there.
And they may be cheaper as well in terms of the contracts you have.
Exactly. That's the next thing from a cost perspective, obviously, when it comes to distribution cost and also acquisition costs of your guests, right? This is something to certainly take into consideration, but that obviously goes along with having in mind on where you want to go, right? You need to have a target, and without that target, you cannot be thinking of a proper segmentation or distribution strategy.
No, that makes sense. But I just want to finish one kind of thought, because again, I put myself in the shoes. Okay, I'm listening to this podcast. I've set up my strategy. It makes sense to have it aligned. And naturally, it makes sense to be evaluating. Is it successful? How often should I be evaluating this?
Well, it really depends on the size of your properties and the amount of reservations that you handle.
Yeah, good point.
If you have a bit bigger hotel, of course, you have a lot of more data points. So you could very well go into analyzing the impact much faster. But our advice would definitely be to monitor the changes and strategy that you implement at least for some time. Because it could very well be that at the beginning it's not successful, but the benefit will come later. If you have a smaller property, of course, the time between implementation and reviewing whatever you've set up and checking it for how successful it was, of course, becomes much longer because you don't have so many data points to analyze.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Anything else around some of the advice that you would be giving and some of the things that you see with your hotels maybe aren't doing before you get involved, and where are some of the quick wins that people can put into place?
I think in general, maybe just to round this off, you know, sometimes it's also good to just take a step back and view whatever you have in place from a little bit of a distance, because that might also open up other perspectives. Also, when it comes to, you know, speaking with industry peers on the distribution parts that could be relevant for a specific hotel, for example, I think also offers a lot of insight and a lot of different perspectives that could help in terms of, you know, building up your distribution strategy at the end of the day. Just linking over to that OTA versus direct picture,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a, how am I phrasing that correctly? Sometimes I have the feeling that everyone wishes for having as much direct business as possible, but we tend to not to realize that, you know, there are partners out there which are certainly doing things better than a single hotel or maybe even a smaller hotel chain could ever do by themselves, right?
No, that makes sense.
So as much as we are punching on, you know, whatever actions OTAs do left and right and how detrimental they can be to a hotel's performance at the end of the day, you know, it's also a very relevant point that they are there for a reason, right? We can use them as a partner. We should just be looking into how far we go with them. And this may be as a thought to kick off this discussion on OTA versus direct.
And probably, again, I'll phrase this wrong, but it's kind of a bit of a chicken and egg. I guess if the hotels were doing it well themselves, would there have been the market for the OTAs? But now that the OTAs are there and you know, their whole... the whole interaction on the odd occasion when I use them mainly for family holidays, you know, the ability just to, like I do with Google, and we'll talk about them in a minute, you just go to one place, you type in what you want, and up it comes. To have to, you know, for us with you know, Expedia is obviously one of the big players, and to have the flights and the hotels and everything all in one place and gives me all the selections. It's very time efficient. So again, coming back to your point about your market segmentation and what you're going after, thinking about the people that are going to be booking and how they book and what they want from their booking, it maybe isn't just I want one or the other. It's not a binary choice. It's really, we come back to the whole point of having that distribution mix, that channel mix, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. And the big question that comes up here, especially if you're aiming and driving your direct business, is how do customers like yourself, for example, when you were looking for a family holiday, how do you actually find that specific property? So the OTAs give you an opportunity as hotelier to showcase your product. It's a bit like a shop window in an inner city or shopping center. You're just not paying a monthly rent for that, but you pay per realized booking. That's the commission fee at the end of the day. So you have the opportunity to showcase yourself. You can do extra marketing on the one hand side, which would be increasing commission to get a better ranking and everything else that's offered. And on the other side, of course, you can also push for direct business. So you can promote your own website, let's say on Google, on Trivago, or other portals where you can establish a direct connection, also all with the help of your booking engine and channel manager.
Yep.
Question here is just, what is more cost efficient for you at the end of the day? Because many people just overlook the cost associated to bringing a guest from, for example, a Google search on your own website, and at the end of the day, converting it.
Yeah.
And
the cost isn't always just the commission that you're paying on the booking. There are other costs that you can incur with the OTAs further down the channel around cancellations and a number of other elements that maybe don't always get calculated in that cost of sale.
That's true. And also, if you run your own website, usually you try to attract guests by marketing on the big meta search engines. So over there, it's a cost per click model. So not everybody clicking on your property is actually converting into a booking, which
drives
quite tremendously. And then you need an appealing website. You need an efficient booking engine, which has a very low bounce rate in the sense that people really start with the booking process and end up completing their booking and not being frustrated after the website needs 5 minutes to load and actually the button to complete your booking is missing at the end of the process.
Absolutely.
I'm exaggerating here a bit, but there are some hotels.
It's out there. I know from experience. you are saying it as it is.
It's simply the way it is, right? Like the question that arises is, and that hoteliers should ask themselves, you know, how well are we prepared basically in order to being able to confidently say, I want to be pulling as much direct business into my hotel as possible and, you know, reduce whatever is out there from third party. And I mean, if you look at Generation Z, a generation that grew up with internet, obviously they are on the move. They're going to be our future guests. They are our guests now. So we obviously want to cater to also that mobile part of, you know, having a proper good mobile website in place. Something that is seamless, that is flawless, right? When people are on the move, they want to be booking quickly. If that's what it would take to basically drive direct business, then yeah, so be it, right? But if you don't adapt to it, no chance you can get it.
Well, also your investment in your website is potentially going to be less over the, if you look at it over the course of maybe 3 years, you will alter some of the content there, the imagery, maybe some of the wording, but the basic investment in your website and getting it set up to be mobile friendly for want of a better for what a better term to cater for Generation Z, but also in terms of just anybody like me, still a bit old-fashioned, go through on a desktop. You know, as I mentioned when we before we started this, I was looking to book a holiday, found a hotel. I mean, I very rarely look for an individual property. You know, I kind of have a location, I have a budget in mind. So, and I guess coming from a generation where I didn't have the internet, I mean, they are called OTAs because they're online travel agents. In the past, I used to walk to my high street and walk into and talk to a human being who would look through and make some suggestions that suited where I wanted to go and what budget I had to spend. So in reality, all it has done is it has taken that, and they still exist in my high street. I just don't walk in there for whatever reason. and I go online now. But it actually performs that same function. I don't sit there and think I want to go to a specific hotel. So I tend to use it almost like Google, where I'll look at a location. It'll throw me four or five hotels. I'll then go and look at the hotels individually. I'll then maybe look at flight details and see is the price. And I could book direct. But going through that experience and trying that recently at the weekend with some hotels in Rome was frightening. You know how bad it was trying to book on the hotel's website direct and navigating it. So on one hand, you want to try and support the hotel. I know how it works, and I want them to get the booking direct. But there's a part which is I've got limited time. And in the space of 5 minutes, I can book everything. And almost in 10 minutes, I'm still trying to work out what I have to do with the hotel and what options I've got and how do I work around it. I mean, it's you're naturally being pushed to an option that has a better interface and a better user experience.
Yeah, it definitely comes down to the user experience. And we're talking also OTA content there, but especially your own website if you want to drive direct bookings. We talked about it earlier to just take a step back and look at it from the outside. So the best way of unleashing your distribution potential in a way is to really step back and look at your website and OTA content and the way it's presented in a way as you were a customer, a potential customer trying to reserve a room. And if you as a hotelier see anything that would hold somebody off from completing that booking, this is definitely something you need to flag and need to fix as fast as possible. And that could be bad content on the OTAs. It could be the picture that is displayed in the general hotel overview. Could be pictures per room type that are loaded into the OTAs. But especially as we talked about it earlier, the speed of your website? How appealing is it? Do you have nice pictures and videos on it, or is it very static and text driven?
Yeah.
Are you capable of navigating it from mobile devices? And are you maybe even offering a better deal on your own website than you do on the OTAs?
That was the other thing. It wasn't a better deal. So it's like, what's the point?
Like it's also very much down to your actual service offering that you propose to direct guests that you actually want to have, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're thinking of some sort of benefits that you want to present to people in order to make them book direct. If you don't do that, yeah, people will probably most likely be booking on another page.
Well, unless there's an advantage, it's at the end of the day, you're getting the same product. I'm able to do it quicker and it's a cheaper price. Why am I going to go direct?
Yeah, that's true. And many of the big OTAs now have kind of loyalty programs, talking about Booking Genius, or you have member rates and Expedia that are directly put into the contracts for reduced commission. Mm-hmm. So these are already kind of 10% discounts for members at least. So you directly offer a 10% better deal on the OTAs. So what are you going to do on your own website? Are you offering even a better deal? Are you risking your ranking on the OTAs? Can you actually do it? Point. That's the big question behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we onboard new hotels, the question often is, can I offer a better price on my website? And the answer to it is, it's not just a plain yes or no, because it comes down to so many different factors. In some markets, it might totally work as there are just a couple of hotels online and your ranking. So the display of your hotel on the OTAs doesn't matter so much because all 3, 5, or 10 properties will be displayed on the first page. So you will definitely be seen by potential bookers, but there might be big city destinations with a lot of competition. So question here is, do you really generate so many more bookings on your website by offering a cheaper price versus bookings that you will not receive because your ranking will be under average because you're not offering the best price on Booking or Expedia and they will just, you know, push you down in their ranking.
Yeah, understood. Absolutely. Understood. Yeah. Okay. Which probably leads us quite nicely on when we're talking about rankings to an area where rankings have always been very important, which is Google. And Google now entering into this space. So the question here is, or the answer to this is probably who knows yet, but... Yeah. Yeah. Will Google be a leveler, or will it actually just make the situation potentially worse?
I think hoteliers or the hotel industry itself should use Google Hotels nowadays as a chance on, you know, positively influencing that direct aspect of receiving hotel bookings.
Yeah.
I think there's a huge opportunity that lies within that, let's say, kind of new approach from Google. I mean, Google has been releasing Google Flights years ago. Now, basically, it was copied for hotels. And if you look at what it offers, I mean, it offers you so much information that you would want to be seeing as a customer, right? If I'm, you know, searching for a hotel, first step is simply Google. That's where I get my inspiration. And that's where I also have a good look on, you know, what am I expecting in terms of what do I have to pay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Price comparisons that they are including, you know, recommendations on the best months to travel, you know, giving a full picture on amenities of hotels, location services, whatever. It's simply all in one place. And I think when it comes to that distribution part and how it affects hotels and hotel chains, I think at this stage now, we are just on the verge of finding out if hotels can really make use of it and therefore improve their direct business. Or if we're also losing this game towards the OTAs at the end of the day. I mean, the overall winner is still going to be Google.
It'll always be Google. But, well, Google drives the business to the OTAs, doesn't it? So
exactly. But it's equal chances at this stage.
And I've read a lot recently about people. There's been a number of articles that I've picked up, and we've kind of carried on the Revenue Hub about hotels being more active around their Google My Business listing and making sure that they've really got that set up properly. Because I think when we've often thought about Google as, you know, helping our direct bookings, we think about, you know, using it from an SEO, a PPC. We've got the hotel ads. But the Google My Business listing is a pretty simple tool, but it could be a really, really effective if someone's just searching in a particular area and, you know, you can pop up.
Yeah, definitely. It's the same opportunity that you basically have had on Trivago in the past, or TripAdvisor, where you can build up a link directly from your booking engine into these portals. And now it's booking doing the same, where you can actually start with your hotel search on booking and complete the booking on the same platform. And it will then run through your hotel's booking engine without the guest even entering your website.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this hotel search from Google now provides an opportunity for the hotel to showcase themselves and their rates directly where the customer journey usually starts and steal away the booking from the OTAs. The question here is, will hotels be able, even in terms of marketing spend compared to the big OTAs, be willing to pay a lot of their marketing budget on being listed on the top spots whenever you search for a hotel on Google?
Yeah.
Will the hotel be able to keep up with it and really showcase their rates on one of the first spots, so that potential guests is really willing to navigate to the hotel website and complete the booking over there?
Yeah.
And that also brings up the question of, will hotels be able to maybe use it in a way that they can distribute cheaper prices through their website and push them into Google, while of course then taking a hit from losing ranking on the OTAs? But maybe this is a tool where hotels can then really draw a lot of bookings onto their own.
Well, there would be the argument, wouldn't there, that if Google's the first place you go to and you've got your rate there and it's the cheapest rate, then do you need the ranking on the OTAs because you've already been front and center? So, I mean, that's probably something you have to weigh up.
It looks like that also this, let's say, war will again be decided by, you know, which kind of price point are you offering and which kind of price point is seen in the first place by a potential customer.
Yeah.
And with having that visible and compared nicely on a web engine like Google, you know, I think that's going to be the decisive factor. And maybe, you know, Google lets flow in some sort of price quality and stuff like this into, you know, how the ranking is made up on Google itself.
Yeah. And I guess there's the argument. One side of the argument is saying, well, it at least enables me to fight fairly because I get presented with my rate alongside all the other OTAs that are presenting my rates.
Like maybe it's a bit of a crazy thought here, but as we just assume that the starting point for everybody to look for hotels is basically Google before you maybe move on to bigger OTAs, the question is maybe down the road, if you as a hotel can stand it, are you able to maybe stop working with the big OTAs and just work with direct sales over your website connected to Google, so you don't have to compete for your own product on it in terms of cost per click or advertising your rates on top of the spot? Because your hotel will be found anyways by the people looking through Google for, let's say, a hotel stay in Rome.
Yep.
And the only available rate is then through your website, but you still have your hotel showcased.
Yeah.
Just as you had it showcased in the past in OTAs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And maybe it might mean some of the other channels that we haven't looked at, we could look at where the cost of acquisition of that booking is lower than it has been for some of the major ones.
Yeah.
But if we make to a lot of people would seem a brave decision. I mean, we saw, not a direct comparison, but we saw when one of the large travel companies went down here in the UK, the impact was some hotels were relying 100% or at least a vast majority. So it had a really significant impact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd have to look at how you are currently mixing your business. But yes, there could be an argument, I agree with you, where you could say, well, I'm going to drop off the two major OTAs bank on Google getting me front and center, and then looking at other distribution channels to bring me in those bookings, maybe a bit more work up front, but my cost of acquisition might be lower. So I may be able to have a slightly different price point, but I actually could overall be more profitable.
Yeah. Might well happen. We don't know. Like let's be honest as to say we don't know at this stage.
I don't think we do. But I think we've covered quite a bit on this one, conscious of time. Thank you again, both of you. Always very interesting to listen to your expertise and your advice and thoughts of where we're going. And look forward to catching up with you again on another podcast in the future. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Always a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.